Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. To them who are the called according to His purpose. To them who are the called according to His purpose. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look around us today, we can get so easily discouraged by the events of this world. Lord, when we see that the faithful are failing, Father, we see that the godly are perishing. Lord, we want to take comfort and grace, Father, Lord, in knowing that You're still sovereign, always have been and always will. Father, we thank You that, Lord God, that we can be assured of Your sovereign eternal purpose. And that, Lord, nothing in this world or in heaven could ever change anything that You purpose to do. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this verse of Scripture, this wonderful passage of Scripture that explains to us and declares unto us how You, a sovereign God, worketh all things together for the good, not for everyone, but for those who love God and for those who are the called according to Your eternal sovereign purpose. Father, what comfort do these words give us? I pray that You'd be honored and glorified in all that's said and done this morning. May Christ be lifted up, and may You draw us unto Thee. Help us to enjoy and experience the comfort of this promise. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, it is a tremendous privilege and blessing when God's people gather together on the Lord's determined day to listen to the preaching of the Word of God and to sing praises unto God. I know in this day and age of superficial Christianity that it's hard to see sometimes when you look at all the empty churches, but for the true child of God, there's no greater moment of the week, there's no greater time of the week than when we're able as God's people to gather together to lift up our praises and pray to our God as a corporate body of believers and to sit and listen to the preaching of God's Word in prayer that the Spirit of God would open up our understanding that we might know of it more intimately and more personally. And that is exactly the privilege we have this morning, because we have the privilege of looking at one of the greatest promises to be found in God's entire Word, and yet it's simple and yet perplexed. It's an amazing passage of Scripture that countless people attempt to claim as their own, and yet God has a way of exploring or a way of declaring and revealing those truths merely to His people that other people are unable to experience or enjoy the blessings of. And this is one of those texts this morning that God has reserved for His own. To know, that is to understand clearly. Listen to me. To understand clearly. To know, to perceive with certainty. To know that all things work together for good. Is a knowledge which brings the greatest comfort, the greatest encouragement, and the greatest hope in every facet and every circumstance of life. If we could just truly grasp the Spirit's meaning in these words, beloved, we would be more confident in Christ. When Paul said that he'd learned to be content in every state, that word learn means it took effort. He was taught by God to learn to be content in every state he found himself, whether it's abased or whether it's highly lifted up, whether it's poor or rich, suffering or happiness, darkness or day. Paul said, God has taught me in every state to be content. That is really God at work in the believer. Be the very dark and troublesome times or filled with the greatest joy and happiness, God says, I work all those things together. Listen to me, for your good. You know the problem with people who don't believe in divine election They have problem claiming these promises for their own. Let me tell you something. If you promised your child an inheritance, of great wealth, and some stranger walked up and tried to take that away from your child, try to claim it to be his own, what would you do? Would you allow him to do that? No, you want to give your child all you can. As parents, we want to make sure our children are well taken care of. And those things we offer our children, we don't offer unto the strangers. We don't open our doors and our hearts to those that we don't know. But I'm telling you, let it be a child of our own. And we'll even die for them. We'll suffer tremendously for them because we want the best for our children. God's like that, but a million times even more. That's why truths like Romans 8:28 are not for everyone. Those are them that love God. To them that are called according to His purpose. Paul makes a clear distinction. God's not working all things to good for them that don't know God. But for you as children, who are the apple of His eye, who is cherished and loved in the Beloved. Oh, the condition, the state that Christ has brought us into at salvation, dearly child of God, I wish and pray that we'd spend more time contemplating and meditating on that. The state that Christ has brought us in, the fellowship that Christ has brought us to with God in His salvation is one of intimacy with God. We are now in Christ the Beloved. We can call, in this same chapter, we can call God Abba Father. That's intimacy. And so God gives His children a promise here. And Paul distinctly declares who it is that can claim this. That no matter what happens, good or bad, no matter what you're going through, sadness, sorrow, happiness, joy, affliction, trials, temptation, persecution, even death. God says, I'm going to work all things together for your good because you're my child. You're my chosen because you love me and because I've called you according to my purpose. Song we just sang, praise to the Lord who are over all things so wondrously reigneth. Watch this. Shelters thee under His wings. Yea, so gently sustaineth. I'm sorry, but I'm not for new contemporary songs. They could never match up to one like this. Yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted? Not in what you want or I want, but granted in what He ordaineth. That's faith at its greatest work. It's not what I want, it's what He's ordained. And everything God does, He does for our perfection. He will perfect that which concerneth me. God performeth all things for me. He's the potter and I'm the clay. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. You know, the divine promise that all things work together for good, like I said, is not to all. We need to understand that. You need to take and see and understand the intimacy of this promise. But distinctly to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Yet I want you to understand something about this text. These are not stipulations or requirements. Them to love God, them that are called. They're not stipulations. They're not requirements. Listen to me. But they are the character and description of those to whom God worketh all things together for the good. He doesn't say to them if they love God. To them that love God. Because they love God. Listen to me. All things work together to good because to them who love God, because they love God. It's a description. It's not a stipulation. All things will work together for your good because you love God. No, it's a fact. All things work together for good because they love God. To them who love God. It's a fact. You know, one cannot work up love to God. You ever notice how people try to do that? You can't work up love to God. But because He first loved us, listen to me. The Bible says because He first loved us, we now as true believers love Him. So this is a description of those for whom God worketh all things. It's not a stipulation. He's saying, I'm going to work all things to good because they love me. In other words, it's a work of grace. It's not a stipulation. He doesn't say, I'm not going to work all things together for good if you love me. He said, I'm going to work it for you good because you do love me, because you're mine. And you know why you love me? Because I loved you first. Wouldn't think Paul gets bold later on? Who shall condemn the elect? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If God be for us, who can be against us? You see the intimacy and all that? And he begins in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Beloved, our eternal security and our preservation is not dependent on anything we do or say, not dependent upon our obedience, our faith, our submission. It's all because of God. It's all of God. Why does God say to them that love God? Well, what's the fruits of charity? Just a few of them. 1 Corinthians 13. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. That's why he uses that. Why love to God and not faith in God? You ever thought about that? Why didn't he say God works all things together for good to those who have faith in God? Why didn't Paul say those who have faith in God? Isn't faith a greater work than love? Well, not according to 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these are what? Charity, love. Why didn't he say in this particular statement, this particular truth, knowing that all things work together for good to them, the love God. Why does he say to them to love God and not to them who have faith in God? Now listen to me real closely. You know why? According to Scripture? Listen to me. Because love mitigates sorrow in adversities. What's it do? Love mitigates. It lessens. It weakens sorrow in adversity. You know when you love somebody, let's use personal human experience to understand. Now this is much higher because it's a divine love for God. But when you love somebody and you're in adversity, there ain't nobody you want closer to you than those who love you. There's nobody who understands you more than the one you love and the one that loves you. Love mitigates sorrow. That's why he said it all works together to them that love God, because love mitigates sorrow. In fact, love is a sweetener. It makes us joy in our tribulations. Romans chapter 5. Not only that, but we joy in tribulation. That's why the Holy Spirit had Paul use love to God. It's a powerful mitigation. It's a powerful working of the Spirit. All these things work together to them that love God. Remember Song of Solomon chapter 8? The ending of that beautiful romance? When it says, love is strong as death. Many waters cannot quench love. That's a picture of trials. Neither can the floods drown it. That's not literal waters. That's floods, trials, afflictions, If you have love, it's stronger than death, and nothing can drown it, nothing can fade it. That's why the Holy Spirit had Paul say, here's a statement, here's a declaration. It's not a stipulation, but here's a declaration. God says, I work all things together for the good because they love me, to them that love God. You can imitate a lot of things, and there's a lot of false professors, a lot of hypocrites in church. You can imitate a lot. You can quote Scripture. You can quote Scripture better than anybody else. You can dictate doctrine right and left. You can know all across all your T's and dot all your I's. But there's one thing you cannot imitate. You cannot imitate love for God. It will be evidenced in your life. I'm telling you, it will be evidenced in your life. One of the funerals I had to go to yesterday, I didn't want to. Lady at a nursing home. One of the things the preacher mentioned during the sermon is people could always tell how much love she had for her husband. It was just evident. People, for over 40 years, people seen the love they had for each other. People recognize that. You can imitate a lot, but you can't imitate love for Christ because you'll see it in actions. That's why when people say, oh, I love God, they don't read Scripture, they don't pray, they have trouble attending church when they could. It's not love for God. If you loved God, this is exactly where you'd want to be. And there would be very few things in the world that would hinder you from being here. Why? Because you love God. You can't imitate that. You can't work yourself up to love God. That's why it's a declaration. It's a statement. Listen to me. It's a statement. Do you love God? God's going to work all things together. And when He's working even the bad things with the good things, your love for God, my love for God, will mitigate the sorrow for those adversities and will still love God. He give us a song, what? In the night. You want to see the real test of Christian character and love for God? Can we sing praises to God in night seasons? What do you mean night seasons? Times of trial, and afflictions, hardships, and sorrows. Can we still sing praises to God? You know, too often we look at the immediate presence of things, and we lose the whole picture. We're going to look at David in Sunday school, but because we cancel it, we'll do it next time. God told him he'd sit on the throne, but David went through a lot of things before God put him on the throne. And in 2 Samuel chapter 1, finds out Saul's dead. You know what he does? He doesn't say, oh, praise God, my enemy's dead. You know what David did? David sang a song and said, all Israel's got to sing this song, and they've been singing it ever since. He praises Saul. He lifts him up, exalts Saul. What character David had. David just came from Ziklag, where he fought them to get all his possessions back. The Philistines just beat Israel. Israel's defeated. David's in a dire strait right now. Saul's dead. Israel's in a mess. He just got finished fighting the enemies of Ziklag, or the Philistines. He's just journeyed 3 days. He's in a mess. And now he finds out Saul's dead. All those things God was working together. Why do I have these troubles in my life? Why do I have these situations in life that bother me and aggravate me? God's working all things together. It's medicinal, spiritually. Some people wonder why they make me work with people that get under my skin. Because people shouldn't be able to get under your skin. So God says, you've got something to work on. I'm giving you this medicinally, spiritually, to help you to your good. Look at the bigger picture. All things work together for good. I wonder, David was asking himself the question, man, I'm just trying to do right. And then the Philistines come along and take my wife and all the men's wives, and we get in trouble, we have to fight all them, get our possessions back. I'm not on the throne, I get back to Israel, Saul's dead, Israel's been defeated, they're in dismay, they're in dismoil, and I'm supposed to be a king sometime. David's kind of gone, I bet David's looking at that going, what in the world's going on? You know what happens in chapter 2 of 2 Samuel? He He's anointed king. Don't try to finish the work God began. Let Him finish it. The more I looked into this last week, the more I looked over the last 39 years of my Christianity, and I'm going, man, it sure took a lot of things for God to do in my life to get me where I'm at, and I'm nowhere where I should be. But man, I'm telling you, I've been down roads, up mountains, in valleys, just like you. God's taken me through so many different kind of trials and temptations in life. Afflictions, happiness, sorrow, mountaintops. Man, I'm telling you, start reminiscing what God's done over the last 10, 15, 20 years of your life if you've been saved that long. And reminisce about all the times that God was there. God never left you once. God never deserted you once. God was always there. And everything He put you through made you who you are today for Christ. He's working all things together. To them to love God. And yet there's another description I want to quickly look at this morning, or characteristic of those to whom God worketh together all things for good. One which many simply choose to ignore or they deny. Yet it's the very cornerstone. Listen to me. It's the very cornerstone and foundation upon which this great promise is built. He says here in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We established that. But He said, to them who are the called according to His purpose. To them who are the called according to His purpose. Most people ignore this passage of Scripture in Romans 8:28, either because they don't understand it or because they reject it. What's it have to do with? It not only has to do with our preservation, it has to do with our salvation. Your salvation was never a choosing, it was always a calling. People hate that. I'm not going to apologize for that divine truth. Salvation was never dependent upon you and I choosing. It was upon God calling. And people hate that because it takes everything away from man and gives everything to God. You say, but preacher, there was a time when I decided. Yeah, but before that decision ever took place, God had placed a calling on your heart. It's the foundation of this verse. It's actually the foundation of our entire salvation. To know that God has called me according to His purpose is the greatest blessing and the greatest assurance any believer can have in every facet of life. It was in the quote in our bulletin from Spurgeon. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And he says, and I quote, never forget that the special electing love of God is the source of every blessing. That's why Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, put it here. Not only to them that love God, but to them who are the called according to His purpose. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Pharisees were disgruntled at Christ. Didn't believe anything He said. You know what He said? He said, you know why you don't believe me? Look it up, John chapter 10. You know why you don't believe me? He didn't say because you don't have enough faith. He said, because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. We went through John chapter 17, underlined in that chapter how many times Christ says in that prayer, that holy prayer of Christ, how many times Christ said, those whom you have given me. That's an assurance. In the Spirit's intercession for the saints in prayer, according to verse 27, it's according to the will of God. He maketh intercession according to the will of God. Look at that. It's God's will. In God working all things together for good, it's in accordance to His unchanging eternal purpose. God working all things to good according to His purpose. According to His will, according to His purpose, it's all God. You know why I'm going to heaven, and I know I'm going to heaven. You know why I'm assured I'm going to heaven? Not only because Christ paid all my sins. Yes, He died for me. The blood forgave me of all my sins. I know that for a fact. But part of that assurance comes from God calling me.
out of darkness into light.
Listen to it. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Watch that. Watch this. Moreover, more of that, to continue that, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. Whom he called, then he justified. Whom he justified, then he also glorified. It's a finished work. The Lord didn't say he's going to. He says he has. He has. He has. That's our standing in Christ. We're justified. Hallelujah. We're glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can separate us? Or who can be against us? The security of the true believer's salvation and our preservation or keeping is all kept by the power of God. The great blessing of knowing that all things work together for good draws its greatest comfort and hope from an assurance that God is working all things together in accordance to His sovereign and eternal purpose. Everything is working out according to His sovereign and eternal and changing purpose. Everything is working out good. We look at the world together today, we look at the media, and sometimes we get frustrated and discouraged what's going on in the world, and it just seems like they're shoving sin down our throats, isn't it? God is still working everything in accordance to His sovereign, eternal, unchangeable purpose. Everything. You know what we're going to see in these latter days, and we're already seeing it. You know why the church is so few? Because the true believers are few. And it's going to even get worse. Listen, put yourself in Elijah's shoes. Elijah seen things you and I will probably never see. He called fire down from heaven. Man, I'm telling you, Elijah's seen some miracles. And yet Elijah's got so discouraged over the condition of God's people in that day and age, he went out, sat under a juniper tree, and wanted to quit. I'm no better than my fathers. Doesn't work. I'm the only one left. Went out and had a pity party. I know we've never had those, have we? Sometimes I talk to Christians, they sound like they're the only ones that believe the truth. You're not. I'm not. Lord said, you don't understand, Elijah. I've reserved 5,000 that you don't know of. God has always had a remnant. Man, I want to be amongst that remnant, don't you? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Ecclesiastes says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that man should fear before Him. That's Ecclesiastes 3, which starts out a season of time to every purpose. God has set a season of time for every purpose. Doesn't matter what it is. You're going through a season of suffering, affliction, God set it. You're going through a time of sorrow, sadness, happiness, joy, God set it. God said it all. God's purpose is all. It's all according to His purpose. You say, but it's hard to understand that. I know it is. But we have to know that all things work together for good. Look at Psalm 138. A few more minutes. Psalm 138. Wow. Don't want to hurry because this is just good. 138. Psalm 138. Look what the psalmist says here. David praising God. Psalm 138, verse 7. Though I walk, he's not staying or sitting, he's walking. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. You see how they tie together? Forsake not the work of thine own hands. You know why God will perfect that which concerneth me? Listen to me. Do you know why God will perfect that which concerneth you? Because the glory of God is concerned in it. to them that are the called according to His purpose. When God begins a work, His glory will make sure that it's made to perfection. God doesn't fail. So if you and I are truly children of God, He will not fail in perfecting that which concerneth you and I. He will perfect that. Sometimes I talk to Christians and it sounds like they're the potter and God's the clay. Let me tell you something. Has the clay ever spoke up and said, "Would you please make me this or make me that?" The clay has no power of its own. The clay is made and formed into whatever the potter wants it to be. The water is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The beating of the clay is trials and tribulation. The spinning wheel is the Holy Spirit conforming us into the image of Christ. It's all an analogy. But the clay has never told the potter what it wants to be. The potter made the clay what he wanted it to be. That's what God does in each and every one of us. He will not fail. He will perfect that which concerneth you. That's why as believers we know that all things work together. Not only because I love God and love mitigates the sorrow and adversity, but also because God has called me according to His purpose. Look at Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Everyone knows this one. Philippians 1 verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a work, a good work in you, will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He begun a good work. He'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He won't fail. He can't fail. That's why David said, "I'll cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." All things, we know, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And then when you finish there, don't stop. Because Romans verse, chapter 8, verse 28 opens the floodgates to all the following verses. From verse 28 all the way to the end of the chapter, it's all about God and what He's doing. Nothing about you and I and what we do. Nothing. The first half has something to do with us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Starting at verse 8 concerning our preservation and our eternal salvation and the keeping of us, it's all God. Verse 28 to the end of the chapter, read it. There's nothing in there about you and me, what we do, our obedient submission. It's all about God. It's God working in us. Amen. Work out, therefore, your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians chapter 2. Why? Because it is God that worketh in you. Because it is God that worketh in you. Because it is God that worketh in you both to do and to will His good pleasure. It's God that worketh in you. One of the greatest verses in the entire Word of God, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And I pray and hope that God would help us all to grow in His truth. And I hope and pray that as God puts us in different situations of life, no matter what it might be, that we can reflect back to Romans 28 and we can draw from its blessings. We can draw from its well, from its waters to refresh our souls, that all things work together for good. Don't just throw that out there. Meditate on it. Think about it. Love will mitigate the sorrows of adversity. Being assured that God has called us according to His purpose gives us that assurance that no matter what happens, God is going to work all these things out for my good. You know why? Because in Christ Jesus, He loves me. Look at the further verses down the road. If God gave His own Son, would He not freely give us all things to enjoy? What more could He give than His own Son? It's almost like Paul saying, why are you doubting God's love and care for you? If he's already given you his own son, that's the highest price he could give. Would he not freely give you all things? Oh, we need to know more about this intimate relationship that Christ has brought us to in his salvation. Thank God for such a glorious salvation. Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's such truth, you just feel as though you barely scratched the surface. Lord, I know that personal meditation and prayer is required for us to dig deeper into this truth. Father, I pray that this morning you've planted the seed in the hearts and minds of your children. And Lord, I pray that we water that with prayer and meditation. And Lord, we beseech thee, Lord God, to show us the blessings of this truth. Let us find safety and assurance and hope and love and encouragement and support, knowing that you love us that much in Christ, that you're going to work all things together. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Dear God, I pray, help us to be more assured of this truth in our own hearts and lives. In this world of wickedness, Lord, help us, Lord, to fix our hearts upon thee. Lord, we love you and thank you.